नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज जड़ भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग रहुगण। तथैव राजन उरुघार मेधा वितान विद्योर विज्रंभितेषु न वेदवादेषु हि तत्ववादः प्रायेण शुद्धो नु चकास्ति साधुः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर किंग, talks of the relationship between the master and the servant, the king and his subject, and so forth, are simply talks about material activities. People interested in material activities, which are expounded in the Vedas, are intent on performing material sacrifices and placing faith in their material activities. For such people, spiritual advancement is definitely not manifest. Purport. In this verse, two words are significant, Vedavada and Tattvavada. According to Bhagavad Gita, those who are simply attached to the Vedas and who do not understand the purpose of the Vedas or the Vedanta Sutra are called Vedavadarataha. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschitaha. वेदवादरतः पार्था नान्यदस्तितिवादिनः कामात्मानः स्वर्गपरा जन्मकर्म फलप्रदाम क्रिया विशेष बहुलाम भोगैश्वर्य गतिम प्रति। Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for the elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say there is nothing more than this. Bhagavad Gita 2.42-43. The Vedavada followers of the Vedas are generally inclined to karmakanda, the performance of sacrifice according to Vedic injunctions. They are thereby promoted to higher planetary systems. They generally practice the Chaturmasya system. Akshayam Havai Chaturmasya Yajna Sukritam Bhavati. One who performs the Chaturmasya Yajna becomes pious. By becoming pious, one may be promoted to the higher planetary system. Urdvam Gacchanti Sattvastaha. Some of the followers of the Vedas are attached to Karmakanda, the fruitive activities of the Vedas, in order to be promoted to higher standards of life. Others argue that this is not the purpose of the Vedas. Tad yathaiveha karma jita lokaha kshiyate evam utra punya jitaha lokaha kshiyate. In this world, someone may become very highly elevated by taking birth in an aristocratic family, by being well educated, beautiful or very rich. These are the gifts for pious activities enacted in the past life. However, this will be finished when the stock of pious activities is finished. If we become attached to pious activities, we may get these various worldly facilities in the next life and may take birth in the heavenly planets. But all this will eventually be finished. Kshinne punya martyalokam vishanti. When the stock of pious activity is finished, one again has to come to this martyaloka. According to the Vedic injunctions, the performance of pious activity is not really the objective of the Vedas. The objective of the Vedas is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Vedaishcha sarvair aham eva vedya. The objective of the Vedas is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are Vedavadis are not actually advanced in knowledge. And those who are followers of Jnanakanda, Brahman understanding, are also not perfect. However, when one comes to the platform of Upasana and accepts the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes perfect. Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. In the Vedas, the worship of different demigods and the performance of sacrifice are certainly mentioned. But such worship is inferior because the worshippers do not know that the ultimate goal is Vishnu. Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi Vishnum. When one comes to the platform of Vishnu Aradhanam or Bhakti Yoga, one has attained the perfection of life. Otherwise, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita, one is not a tattvavadi but a Vedavadi, a blind follower of the Vedic injunctions. A Vedavadi cannot be purified from material contamination unless he becomes a tattvavadi. That is, one who knows tattva or the absolute truth. Tattva is also experienced in three features. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti shabdate. Even after coming to the platform of understanding tattva, one must worship Bhagavan, Vishnu and his expansions. Or one is not yet perfect. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapadyante. After many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna. The conclusion is that unintelligent men with poor fund of knowledge cannot understand Bhagavan, Brahman or Paramatma. But after studying the Vedas and attaining the understanding of the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is supposed to be on the platform of perfect knowledge. Hare Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam from 1st canto to 9th canto is teaching us how to live in this world. And at the same time, it also teaches how to live from this world. And the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the glimpse of what are the activities involved in the spiritual world. His Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu mentions, when he was very young, somehow that he figured out that God, for him to manage this material manifestation, does not take much hard work because he is God. And since he does not have to work hard to manage this material world, then what does he do with his free time? He must be having lots of free time. So when he was very young, he would ask this question to his priest in the church. And none of these priests ever encountered with these kind of questions. It was very important questions and nobody could answer this. And therefore he concluded that paradise, the spiritual realm, must be very boring. Because there is no conception of what one does there, what God does in the spiritual realm. Why should we go into that place? So therefore Srimad Bhagavatam, from very beginning, yesterday Shikshastakam Prabhu spoke very nicely, from very beginning it is teaching us how to get out of this material world. Otherwise the same spiritual instructions which are there in the Shastras will be used by the selfish living entity to again continue his material existence. The conflict between the Vedavadis and Tattvavadis is caused because of one's selfish desires. In fact, sometimes even the Tattvavad can be used for one's selfish end. Therefore, Kapil Muni in the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains different kinds of devotional service. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, devotional service in the mode of passion, and devotional service in the mode of goodness. Even though in this devotional service, Lord Vishnu is the object of worship, worshipper is worshipping Lord Vishnu, but unfortunately because of the three modes of material nature, there is selfish end. There is violence, there is desire for fame, there is desire for prestige. And because of that, it causes contamination in the heart of the practitioner, and the practice of devotional service causes pain to others. Just like Daksha Prajapati resembles the bhakti in the mode of ignorance. And because he performed his devotional service, his object of worship was Lord Vishnu, but unfortunately because of a selfish end, he offended Lord Shiva. It caused big problem in the whole place of worship. And again, the mode of passion is personified by Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj could not take the insult of his stepmother. It was not a big thing. He could have taken it lightly. But he became very serious about it. His Kshatriya blood was boiling. And therefore he came to attend something which was never attended even by his great-grandfather. And his tapasya was suffocating the demigods. One of the character of devotional service is that our devotional service is not pleasing only to us, but that devotional service also gives pleasure to all the living entities. What to speak of our very close friends and acquaintances. So therefore, even the tattvavad, the principle of devotional service, if they are not utilized properly, they also become like karmakand. And it is not very pleasing. His Grace Dayarampur was mentioning that how when we practice pure devotional service, a practicing devotee when sincerely practices pure devotional service, he commands respects from his subordinates and from his friends, and even he commands respects from his superiors. And he told one story that one of the devotees in London, he lost his father and he wanted to perform the last rites so that his father could get the devotional benefit. And he wanted Jananivas Prabhu to put the ashes in the Ganga in Mayapur. And some other Jananivas Prabhu came late, and this another devotee, who is also a devotee, but he was doing all of these ritualistic ceremonies. And when this devotee saw, he said, "I don't want this." Very nice to see, very, very nice to hear. And this devotee said, "I don't want all these ritualistic things for my father. Even if Jananivas Prabhu comes and kicks the ashes of my father, I'll be completely satisfied." He said, "Let him come and kick the ashes." He said, he was so disturbed by seeing all those ritualistic ceremonies which are prescribed in the Vedas, that is the part of the Antya Samskar. But he said, "No, I don't want this. Let the devotee come and kick the ashes. That will help my father." So therefore, we see that in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, again King Prachini Bharishat was very expert in performing all kinds of sacrifice. Not himself, he was guided by the expert teachers. And even though he was guided by the expert teachers, unfortunately, he ended killing so many innocent animals. And when Narad Muni came there, Narad Muni showed him, "Just see, there are so many animals are very eagerly waiting to devour you." And he was shocked that all the Prabhupada explains in the purport, when you perform sacrifice, and those sacrifices, when there is animal killing is involved, naturally the animals attain human form of life. But if there are slight discrepancies in performance of yajna, those animals may not get the human form of life, and there will be severe reactions. So similarly, so then Narad Muni, when he showed him, he said, and then Prachini Bharishat said, "It seems that there is a big contradiction between your instructions and the instruction given by the acharyas." And again, the instructions given by the acharyas are not transparent. Bhakti Yoga involves becoming more and more selfless. When there is a selflessness, naturally there is abundant facilities to serve Krishna. One's devotional service is checked because there is selfish desires. And because there are selfish desires, unfortunately, a living entity finds certain ways and means, even from the Vedic scriptures, to find those selfish desires in the form of the Vedic rituals and feel the satisfaction of performing some kind of spiritual activities. And therefore, in this age of Kali, even the atheism, the greatest atheism, has got a nice covering of spirituality. One can conclude that I am practicing spiritual life, I am not practicing religious ritualistic activities, but actually I am practicing spirituality. But he's practicing Buddhism, which is nothing but atheism. In the Western world, it has been seen that so much of Buddhism is spreading. And what is it? It is nothing but hardcore atheism. So therefore, we read here, Jada Bharat is instructing Rahugun. The goal of life is to become selfless. And when we become selfless, there is abundant facilities to engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the goal becomes clear. King Prachinibharich explains, when Narad Muni spoke to him in a very indirect way, he explains, I am not able to understand this principle. Why? Because I am attached to my own selfish ends. I am not able to understand it. Therefore, you please explain to me very clearly. Only if you explain to me very clearly, then I can understand. And Narad Muni, because of his strong, compassionate heart, he makes very clear to King Prachinibharishit what is the goal of life. Even while performing devotional service, sometimes we become attached to the externals of the devotional service. One devotee told me this story. Again, very powerful, striking story. There was one devotee, book distributor, and he became very expert in distributing books. And along with that, he learned all the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. Within no time, he was able to recite all 700 shlokas. And he came to India, and then he told Dhananjay Prabhu. Dhananjay Prabhu was the president of Vrindavan Temple. He said, Prabhuji, you should take me to Srila Prabhupada and tell him that I know all the 700 shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. And Dhananjay Prabhu was shocked. He said, how can you say like that I should tell Prabhupada to say that you know all the 700 shlokas? And he kept pestering every day. He said, why don't you take me to Prabhupada? You tell him that I know all the 700 shlokas. And eventually, because he was so much pestered by this devotee, Dhananjay Prabhu, out of great force, he came to Srila Prabhupada with this devotee. And he said, Prabhupada, this devotee wants me to tell you that he knows all the 700 shlokas. And Prabhupada was writing in his quarters. He would not even look up. And Prabhupada, while writing, he said, engage him in some menial service where we can wash pots in the kitchen. He didn't even look at him. And this devotee walked out very disappointed. He came back to Chicago. He gave a practicing devotional service. And this devotee would see him every day because this devotee was distributing books at the airport. And you would see this devotee walking back and forth in the airport lounge saying, what I want is only money. He would walk back and forth all the time saying that, what only I want is money. That became his mantra. He stopped chanting Hare Krishna. And then one day his parents were going from that airport. They were flying out of Chicago. And they actually had no relationship with him. And they were flying and their engine fell off. And they lost their life in that plane crash. And because he was the only son and he was so desperate about money, the Lord provided him that. His parents had to be killed and he received that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that one should be careful what one desires. And Prabhupada writes in one purport that the whole goal of this material existence, not to continue to live in this world, not to make a nice facilities to practice our material life. When there is a lot of material opulence, it is quite natural. The material world is so arranged, if there are too many facilities, one becomes stagnant in his intensity to practice devotional life. This is spoken by Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by that Brahmana boy, Parikshit Maharaj, he was speaking for himself and also he spoke to the sages. He says, I could only take to devotional service intensely only if there is a fear of death. Because there is a fear of death, I am going to die within 7 days. Now I actually can take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, there was no way I could become serious in devotional life. Even though Parikshit Maharaj was always serious in devotional life. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains in the story of Maharaj Chitraketu. Chitraketu became a great devotee. And because of his devotion, Lord Anantadev offered him the post of the head of the Siddha Loka. And he was enjoying, but his enjoyment was also centered around Krishna. He would sing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that still there was lack of that intensity. And therefore, it was all the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that Chitraketu Maharaj should be cursed. What a curse, that he had to become a Brahma Rakshas. It was a very bad news for Maharaj Chitraketu that he had to become a Brahma Rakshas and lose everything. But because he was a devotee of the Lord, he took it in a right spirit and took complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, this age of Kali is made in such a way, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rudayanand Maharaj explains that in Kali Yuga, if you want to perform devotional service, it has to be very intense. Because Kali Yuga gives you that opportunity. There are so many obstacles, there are so many difficulties, and when you are not expecting the difficulties hits you. And you have no other choice than to take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to call out the holy name of the Lord intensely. So therefore, sometimes devotees, very boldly, risking, they pray to Krishna. Like, we were very fortunate to be with Bhakti Tirth Maharaj many times. And he was mentioning the same principle. He said, to intensify my devotional service, he prayed to Srila Prabhupada. He made this bold decision. It takes great heart, it takes great adventure to make that decision and pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, whatever purification it requires to become pure devotee, you please put those kind of situation in my life. We are very scared of it. And usually, you know, when we went to meet Stoka Krishna Prabhu, he was explaining that Krishna embarrassed him in so many ways, humiliated him in so many ways. He would not fulfill many of his desires. It was very frustrating. And because of that, naturally you become very embarrassed. Srila Prabhupada explains, this material world is so designed, the living entity is put in so many embarrassing situations. That is how this whole material world is arranged. And he also prayed at one point of time in his life that if I can get cancer, then maybe there will be intensity in my chanting. And that's what Krishna took it seriously. All other desires he would not fulfill. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains, he says, the Lord may fulfill one time material desires. And then again a living entity, a devotee, aspiring devotee may again ask more material desire from the Lord. But this time Lord says, no, I would not. Rather than fulfilling material desires, the Lord, what does he do? He gives the shelter of his lotus feet. So he was mentioning that all of his desires were frustrated, but Krishna suddenly fulfilled this desire. And this was not intensely prayed for, but anyway Krishna gave it. So therefore, in one sense, the whole material world is arranged in such a way that we have to become sober here. Joy and fun is there in the spiritual world. When we were with Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, we could see the mixture of these two things. He was showing how one should be sober in this material world, and he was also giving us the glimpse of what is there in the spiritual world. He would joke around while giving his talk. That means he was becoming closer to the realm of spirituality. So when these two combinations are there, just like in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is all fun pastimes of the Lord. Krishna performing unlimited pastimes. So therefore, unless we become sober in this material world, if we try to contemplate on the pastimes of Lord Krishna, then those pastimes of the Lord, by seeing those pastimes, if we are not completely purified, we take those pastimes to be mundane. And those pastimes also sometimes they make us very light in our devotional service. We may not take it very seriously. Recently one devotee asked Jayadvait Maharaj, somebody sent me this mail, asking, Maharaj, do we recognize Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world? Is there a way we can understand what is Prabhupada's position, our position? And he gave a very straight and simple and most practical answer. He said, first of all, follow the four regulative principles strictly, chant 16 rounds and stick to one wife. This was a question asked by some Western devotees. So that if you can do this one, then the rest will be revealed to you at the right time. Therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Artha Prapti is the revelation of the pastimes of the Lord. That does not come whimsically. Dwelling on those pastimes when you are not sufficiently purified is the sign of arrogance. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sukadeva Goswami dwells on the pastimes of the Lord. Lord's coming to this material world, nourishing his devotees up to 9th canto. And he keeps on testing Parikshit Maharaj's substance again and again. And only when Parikshit Maharaj proves his credibility, and when he sees the intensity in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, then he narrates the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Otherwise, it does not come. In fact, in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj, suddenly Sukadeva Goswami narrates the descriptions of the hellish planet, descriptions of the heavenly planets. When he sees that he is not attracted to the heavenly planets, and is not repelled by the hellish planets, rather, those the descriptions of the hellish planet creates a compassionate heart in Parikshit Maharaj. In fact, it is explained, Prabhupada explains, that when Parikshit Maharaj heard the descriptions of the hellish planet, he became very compassionate for those conditioned souls. A dying person is always self-absorbed. He cannot think of other people, especially those who are not related to him. But in that condition, when Parikshit Maharaj heard this, Parikshit Maharaj immediately asked, what will happen to these people? What is the way they can be released from the hellish consequences? And Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj became very happy with his disciple and he started narrating the pastime of Ajamil, how Ajamil got delivered. So up till 9th canto, if you read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, it is all about Lord coming to this material world and to save his struggling devotees. They are struggling with material life, and they take up to devotional service, and Krishna comes and releases them. And only in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pristine and pure pastimes are revealed. They are revealed. Why? Because Parikshit Maharaj has become completely qualified. And that is what Mahaprabhu's philosophy is. When Radhanath Swami Maharaj, every day he would narrate these stories to Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. They were specifically focusing on Chaitanya Charitamrita. He would focus on different characters of devotees and tell their pastimes. And he would not, most of the time when they were discussing with each other, they were just listening about Mahaprabhu's pastime, the pastimes of devotees. And Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and the devotees' pastimes are basically the pastimes of the practicing devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they don't dwell on the pastimes of the, that is there in the Antya Lila, few chapters. But most pastimes are the pastimes of the characters of devotees while living in this world. And one day he was narrating the pastimes of Mukundadat. That was the disappearance day of Mukundadat. And when he heard those pastimes, when he came to know that Mukundadat is related to Vasudev Dat, because that was the mood he was trying to imbibe, that the mood of Vasudev Dat, who was willing to sacrifice his life for others. When he heard that, Maharaj was telling, he said, he started pressing Maharaj's hand and started crying. He's saying, Vasudev Dat, Vasudev Dat. There were tears in his eyes. And because he became compassionate, thinking about others, and because of that selflessness, even in that difficult condition, He arranged himself to practice and perform more and more devotional service. Because he developed unlimited selflessness. When he came to know this is the son, this is the brother of Vasudev Dutt. So all the time they were discussing these pastimes. And then time to time also he was discussing the pastimes or hearing the cassettes of our Vrindavan Yatra, Mayapur Yatra. And he took such a risk. Nobody will do that risk of. He had all the facilities to come to Vrindavan or Mayapur. Who would take risk at the time of one's departure? When you know that you are about to die within few days. And if you have so many disciples, naturally they will buy you a nice house. They would hire good doctors. Everything could have been arranged. But he made this decision that I will not die in Vrindavan or Mayapur. I will give up my life in Gitanagari. Again, that was also based upon teaching lessons to the practicing devotees. And he was not doing it whimsically. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter that sometime it is said that one should live one's body in the holy land. But for a devotee, it does not matter where he lives. Not every devotee has the facilities to come mechanically. You know, buy a plane ticket, come to India, create a facility and quit the body and feel that, okay, I've left my body. Not many devotees will get that opportunity on a physical platform. But he was teaching how on a spiritual platform one can still be in the land of bhoga but still be in Vrindavan. And fortunately, not fortunately, it was Krishna's arrangement, Vrindavan was brought to him to in Gitanagari. Now this Brijbasis, Madan Mohan Prabhu, Narsingh Baba and Panditji, they were there right in his room. And there was no plan for them to come to Gitanagari. You know, there was no plan. But they were forced by his devotion to come there. That's how Krishna is overwhelmed by the conviction of his devotee. And they came there and they were chanting so beautifully. And the streams of tears were flowing from his eyes all the time when they chanted the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, because of his conviction to die in his own place where he was performing devotional service and to prove devotees that if you are Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter where you die. And if you are not Krishna consciousness, even if you come to Vrindavan, you are not allowed to be lived in Vrindavan. If that substance is not there, then that becomes also a ritual. So he's teaching that. So therefore here we see that Jada Bharat, he is speaking to Rahugun. Even though Rahugun was well learned in the Vedic literature, but the motivation was wrong, as we discussed a few days back. That using all the spiritual instruction, but his motivation was to enjoy sense gratification. And because that was the motivation, the understanding of Rahugun were infested with contamination. And here Jada Bharat, who has experienced a lot in this material world while practicing his devotional service, he made slight mistake, and that slight mistake caused big deal for him. He had to come back to this material twice. And therefore Srila Prabhupada explains, devotional service is so simple, you may miss it. Devotional service is so simple that you may miss it. So therefore, as a practicing devotee, when we are alert and diligent in our sadhana bhakti, then it is guaranteed. Like one of our devotees from ISKCON, Swavas Prabhu, he is the temple president of Los Angeles. And Maharaj had asked us to go there, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and we went there. It is most wonderful to see. One time I asked this question to him. After seeing his spiritual practices, I asked this question to Swavas Prabhu. How is that you are so determined to practice your sadhana bhakti? He said, one time in a meeting, Srila Prabhupada was giving talk to all the Sankirtan devotees, and one devotee asked this question. Prabhupada, how do you make rapid spiritual advancement? And Prabhupada said, you make rapid spiritual advancement if you can straight at one sitting chant all of your 16 rounds. This was maybe 35 years back. So Vyasprabhu heard that, and from that day onwards, he never missed his rounds, chants all his rounds before Mangalarti, and is a householder with the children and wife, never misses. And then every day at the right spot he stands for Mangalarti. Either he's enthusiastic, he likes to do it, or he doesn't like to do it. At the same spot he will stand for Mangalarti. It may appear to be he's being very physical on that. No, because he does it every day without fail. He stands at the right place for Guru Puja. Same spot. He sits at the right spot for the Bhagavatam class. Doesn't matter who is giving class. Either senior proper disciples or one brahmachari from his own temple who are under him. He is there all the time. And he said, Prabhuji, because unless I focus like this, I cannot focus in my service. And according to many devotees, that is management. One devotee in London, Shruti Dharma Prabhu, is one of the best managers of ISKCON. And he was explaining, what we need is not big managers. This was told to him by his spiritual master Shivaram Maharaj. He said, we don't need big managers. We don't need expert leaders. We don't need charismatic people. What we need is sincere, hardcore practitioners of devotional life. And that will bring success not only in our life, but in the life of other devotees also. And because he does it very diligently, if you go and see him, in fact, Los Angeles is the place of everything. It is the source of all deviations and also source of so many good things. And handling that and managing his own spiritual life, managing the temple, running so many things. But he says, unless I do it, and one devotee told me from another temple, only time he doesn't come to morning program is when he comes back from India, when there is a jet lag. That's the only day he misses. Otherwise, he's there all the time. So this is how devotional service is understood. And the conclusion becomes very clear. And we don't take the tattva as karmakand and use devotional service for our material end. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu. You mentioned that Srila Prabhupada said that devotional service is so simple that we may miss it. Could you please explain that a little more in detail?
Again, it is so simple. That's what, because it is so simple, you know, it creates complexity in our mind. Why it is so simple? In fact, in the first canto, Parikshit Maharaj, when he approached Sukadeva Goswami, here Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj knew that he had 7 days to live. And he was not very clear, is this 7 days are sufficient to attain perfection? The acharyas explain that just to give that assurance to Parikshit Maharaj, suddenly the example of King Khatvanga is quoted. Why? Because Khatvanga had only one movement. So even if you concentrate and dedicate that one movement in Krishna's devotional service, you can attain perfection. What to speak of having 7 days? Therefore that example is given. So Krishna makes devotional service so easy, but at the same time very sublime. If Krishna makes it so easy and sublime, if we don't take it and do not make our goal, not this material world, but spiritual world, then there is something wrong. When something goes bad, something goes wrong with us, like Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, and Bhakti Vishram Madhav Maharaj, he was mentioning, okay, this is Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he's a leader. So he has no other choice other than to set a right example or taking his disease as Krishna's mercy. He has to do it. Of course, he was also doing beyond simply being a leader because he's also a devotee. But he was also giving example of some simple, ordinary devotees. He said, because they were good practitioners, they practiced their spiritual life very nicely. When these kind of diseases came in their life, they never objected. They just took it. He was quoting the example of Mother Gauri. She was a book distributor. Every day without fail, she would go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Very dynamic devotee, but at the same time friendly to everybody. and she contracted cancer. And when she contracted cancer, she became more enthusiastic, he was saying. And when she was dying, and she was saying, it's so easy. It's going so easy. It's going so easy. And with a great smile on her face, she quit her body. There was no regret, not questioning Krishna, why did he give this to me? So when we question Krishna, why Krishna does this, such a big contamination in our heart. That why Krishna, why does he do like that? It should not come. It comes, but it should not come. Because that is the opportunity provided by the Lord to finish off this material world. Because that is the only reason we are there in this material world, so that we can finish off our existence. In the fourth canto, Prabhupada explains that this is the place not to settle. This is the place to get out. So therefore, again, if you see, chanting Hare Krishna is the most easy method. Therefore Prabhupada said, because it is so easy, we may take it lightly and miss the whole opportunity of going back to Godhead. Therefore, why not take it seriously? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, it's useless to have a physical, nice, healthy body if you are not devotee of the Lord. It is better to have a diseased body and be a devotee of the Lord. Because in that condition, with that pain, you can call out the holy name of the Lord. Like if you hear one kirtan, which Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was singing in one of the Sunday program. You must have heard so many kirtans when he was very powerful, physically athletic, great voice. We have heard so many kirtan, but that kirtan, Shikshastak Prabhu can also fetch for this. That day, before he came into that temple hall, he told Maharaj, Radhanand Maharaj, he said, Maharaj, I'll be so fortunate if I can die today in the midst of all the devotees. He became very eager. And the kirtan, what he did, in fact, the previous week, he was very weak. We went previous week also. The kirtan was very enthusiastic. But the next week, it became doubly enthusiastic. Like he was chanting from every part of his body, bringing out everything at here from his heart. Intensely was putting such an intensity after the kirtan was over, after the lecture was over. Radhanath Swami Maharaj was telling us, he said, you know why he was chanting like that? His whole desire was, while chanting the holy name of the Lord, he just wanted to pass away from this world. So he put all of his energy to chant. And just we sometime, you know, we use the same holy name to live in this material world. But he was wanting to live material world. So intensely he was chanting that kirtan, crying all the time. His body was shaking. And he made everybody experience the spiritual vibration. For almost half an hour, right? For half an hour he was intensely chanting the holy name of the Lord. Expecting to live his body at that point of time. A devotee became very anxious. And at the same time, even though he was anxious to go back, he did not stop preaching to others. He said, I have taken all this trouble. He said, yes, I know for sure 99% I am suffering because of my karma. I said, I am not talking about being a selfless servant, this and that. He said, 99% I am suffering because of my own karma. But that whatever 1%, that 1% I am putting all that for helping other devotees to make their spiritual life comfortable. I am asking Krishna that let you take all their difficulties, which making them not to practice devotional service, you give them all to me, so that let their spiritual life become very comfortable. He said, 99% I know I am suffering my own karma, but that 1% is for the other conditioned souls, other practicing devotees, so that their spiritual life becomes comfortable. And then surrounded by devotees, holding Shaligram Shila, you know, Krishna fulfilled his desire. He wanted Radhanath Swami Maharaj to be next to him. So Maharaj was there. All the devotees were there. Hearing the holy name of the Lord. You know, he quit his body. It's not mechanical arrangement. Krishna simply reciprocating with his desires. Any other question? Yes.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, you mentioned that the followers of Buddhism are atheists. Could you please elaborate on that? Because what I believe is Lord Buddha is an incarnation of Lord Krishna. So please could you elaborate on this?
Yeah, this is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that those who don't accept the Vedas, there is no concept of reincarnation, or they don't accept the existence of soul. There is no existence, there is no talk about God. Even though Lord Buddha was the incarnation of God, Shaktavesh Avatar, an empowered living entity coming and preaching, he had a purpose to preach, because the so-called Brahmanas in those time were performing sacrifice. Again, they took the spiritual rituals, they made into such a mundane affair that they became very, very cruel to the animals. They are slaughtering the animals. It is explained that you would find in the Brahmana's quarters blood was flowing. They became like butchers in the name of Vedic sacrifice. And because they are using the Vedic text to prove that this is all recommended, like our Sundar Govind Prabhu was mentioning, that there is one website of one people, some religious people, and they take different quotation from Shastras to prove how even in the Vedas animal killing is allowed. Like Shaman Prabhu gave that rebuttal to one article given by one Brahmin from Palghat. He wrote how cow killing is sanctioned in the Vedas. He was trying to prove that cow killing is allowed, and misinformed people are talking that cow killing is not there in the Vedic literature. He gave so many quotations from the Shastras. That's how Shastra tricks. The Shastras can trick you to do what you want to do, become selfish. So because the Brahmanas were killing animals, you know, using the Vedic text, the blood was flowing in their quarters. So nobody could stop them, because all the Shastras were there with them. They were the leaders of the society. Who will stop them? So therefore Lord Buddha came. And his whole purpose was to stop animal sacrifice. And to stop animal sacrifice, he had to reject the authority of the Vedas, because that was what they are quoting. And because he stopped the animal sacrifice by rejecting the Vedas, that had to be only temporary, only for that stage. You cannot take that beyond. You know, the example is given in the battle. Sometime a soldier, when he is unconscious and he need to be operated, there is no facility for anesthesia, then the doctors, they knock him actually physically. But that is not the regular practice of anesthesia. So similarly, Lord Buddha used this principle, don't follow the Vedas. But if it is taken permanently for a long time, now we see Buddhist philosophy. They don't follow Vedas. And because they don't follow Vedas, they don't practice the principle which Buddha came to establish of non-violence. They eat all kinds of meat. That is the only reason he came, to stop. It was upadharma. It was not even real dharma. Animal killing is a sub-religious principle. He came only to teach a sub-religious principle of non-violence. He didn't come to teach high spiritual subject matter. And because now people, those who practice that philosophy, they eat animals, almost everybody, they don't follow the Vedas. They're happy to say that this is what Buddha has given, that you don't have to follow any God. So they feel satisfied that they're practicing spiritual life, but they're practicing atheism. So we'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.